Well, good morning again, Daniel Valdez again. Hi, welcome back. The marching season's upon us. We have summer band. For some of you, it's still going on. For others, that stuff's over because you're already in school for some reason, even though it's the middle of the month. So how about a freshman refresher course? Not just for those who are just starting out with the whole BOA, Bands of America adventure, but those of us who need like a refresher course after a couple of after a long year or a long summer of waiting around for events to start up. So we're just going to talk about basic stuff with Bands of America contests. I'm going to talk about fact versus fiction. trying to, as always, like we like to do here, debunk misinformation and get it corrected so that the events and performances can be enjoyed by many people, not just the program that you are wearing the shirt from. Cool. So very basic stuff. So let's get started. Thanks for joining me, by the way. Good to see you all. We got some exciting announcements and stuff coming down very soon with Texas Bands and the Texas Bands Live blog and all that fun stuff. Be prepared for an announcement very soon regarding all that stuff. And I'm literally checking my messages to see if I can talk about that stuff. Not yet. So let's talk about it. Bands of America, music advocacy group. They put on all sorts of events. Music for All is the overarching, I guess you could say, company. And then one of their divisions is Bands of America, who puts on the fall regional championships as well as the grand national championships in Indiana. For those of us in, well, speaking to mostly people in Texas, this has nothing to do with UIL. Has nothing to do with UIL region or area or state contest. Those are two completely separate entities that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Cool. The way that the UIL does their conferences is completely different than the way Bands of America does their conferences. The way UIL does their conferences, it is everybody 9th through 12th grade, and then however many students you have, that determines what conference you're in. With Bands of America, the class that you're in, or conference, or if you want to, the term they use is class, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 1A the smallest, 4A the highest. The way that's determined, it is how many people are in your school from grades 10 to 12, because a lot of schools have freshman campuses, so it wouldn't be fair to include those groups all together because all that fun stuff. So 10 to 12 grade, that is what determines your BOA class. So you have 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A for Bands of America class, and then you go all the way up to 6A for the UIL contests. Those are completely different things. Usually they kind of sort of line up in a way, but at the same time they don't. So if you hear, oh, what do you mean we're in class 4A? I thought we were class 6A. Bands of America contest, you go as high as class 4A, conference 4A if you want to think of it that way. I like to use the term class because it diff it you once you hear class, you think Bands of America. Once you hear conference, you think UIL. We want to keep those things as separate as possible just to cut down on any confusion. Cool. So you have your regional champ. You have essentially three different contests with Bands of America stuff. You have your regular regionals, which are one day events. And they put them on at different venues across the country, not just Texas, even though there's like 17 of them here this year, and just in the state of Texas alone. You have your regular regionals, one day events, preliminary contest, finals contest. There's no qualification for it. As long as the check clears, we're all good. You can go to the event. Great. Top 12 from the prelims contest make the finals contest. Top 12. It used to be top 10. They actually added two more programs, so now it's top 12. Just because, hey, why not? Top 12 gets into a regular one day regional. Now, if you win your class, let's say you're a class A band, small program, and you win that class, but you don't make the top 12, you get to perform an exhibition in finals, which is a super nice treat for the programs that are able to stay and perform at the night show and exhibition. So that's how that works. Second version of it is the super regional, Indianapolis, St. Louis, and San Antonio, Texas. Those are 2-day events, larger competition, usually a larger venue. Indianapolis, their Super Regionals at Lucas Oil Stadium. The St. Louis Super Regional, that's at the Dome of the Americas, or whatever they call that that stadium now. And of course, San Antonio, Alamo Dome hosts the San Antonio Super Regional. That's a two-day event. Again, no qualification for it. Just pay your money, pay your dues, and you're allowed to compete. They do have a prelims finals format, but they pick the finalists in a slightly different way because there are like 80 people at the Super Regional in San Antonio, or 80 programs at the Super Regional in San Antonio. You can't have one judging panel judge all 80 programs over 2 days. There's no way. There's no way that's going to work. So they split it up into two judging panels. They do it block by block. So you usually have a first block, then you have a quick intermission, then a second block, and then you just rotate panels. Two panels, they rotate. Top five from panel one, top five from panel two go. That's 10. And then combine everybody else together, whoever didn't make finals just yet, and then give me the next four highest scores between the two panels, and that's your 14. Top five panel one, top five panel two. Next four program, highest scoring programs from the two panels combined, there's your 14. Great. Simple as that. The third type of event is the granddaddy of them all, the Bands of America Grand National Championships. Again, anybody can go. You don't have to qualify for it. Pay your dues. Get to Indianapolis safely. You're good to go. They do a prelims, semifinals, finals format for that. Semifinals is usually at least 30 programs, and we'll get into how they pick semifinals and finalists later on in the year when we're talking nationals and stuff like that. Depending on how many programs go and how many programs qualify and how many programs are in certain classes, there could be more than 30. There could be 35 or 38. You know, just kind of depends. Your prelims, semifinals, and finals, top 12 from semifinals go on to the finals contest, and then we compete at the Grand National Championships. That's a program I participated in. Been to Grand Nationals twice, once as a freshman, once as a senior, made finals both times. Incredible experience. We'll talk about that stuff later. That's kind of how the contest goes down. That's your basic stuff like that. Now let's get into a little bit more of how the programs are evaluated. And then now we can kind of get into fact versus fiction sort of stuff. So with Bands of America contests, speaking specifically to them, you have three categories that you're evaluated on. You have music performance, you have visual performance, and you have general effect. Three different categories. Music is worth 20 points. You have two judges. You have an individual judge who's on the field running around with a tape recorder, sampling kiddos and how they're playing their instruments. You have a music judge upstairs going, you know, evaluating the overall sound and stuff like that. 20 points for music, 20 points for visual. You have an individual visual judge on the field looking at feet, making sure that, you know, are you lined up correctly? Does the form look good? All that stuff. It's more complicated than that, but just kind of a basic overview. Visual ensemble judge upstairs, going up there, looking at forms, looking at body movements, all that stuff. 20 points for music, 20 points for visual, and then 60 points go with general effect. That put all that together, it's 100 points. General effect, we break that down. You have two music general effect judges. They're upstairs. One visual general effect judge upstairs. Formula, combine them together, average it out, whatever you need to do. That's your general effect score out of 60 points. 20 music, 20 visual, 60 for general effect, 100 points, bam, done. The most often... Okay, let's address some misinformation. Statement. You need props in order to do well at Bands of America. Patently false. Example, Ronald Reagan High School in San Antonio. 2019, highest regional score ever. Still the highest regional score ever. No props on the field. They have barriers on the front sideline where the color guard or visual ensemble can hide equipment. Other than that, there are not set pieces on the field. There's nothing on the field. There's no tarps. Nothing like that. Everything that they created on the field in 2019, go watch the show if you can, whatever, or talk to people that know about it. Everything that they created on the field was completely organic. There was not a set piece in the way. They weren't moving stuff around or anything like that. Everything was created by the visual ensemble and then the band itself. You don't need it. A lot of programs look at other programs and say, well, they're only doing well because they have set pieces and props and tarps all over the field. Like, no, that's not how it is. In fact, if you don't use them properly, it can hurt you. if it's not placed properly, if it's not in a good position on the field for to allow the program to express and communicate what they need to communicate to the judges. So no, it's not how that works. It even tells you in the rule book. It literally tells you in the rule book, you know, props don't, it's not something that gets evaluated. Now, there's a difference between having them on the field and interacting with them on the field. Do they move around? Do they create staging on the field? Do people climb on top of things? Or, you know, all sorts of stuff that goes into it. Again, there's a difference between just having stationary pieces on the field and then actually interacting with them. Very big difference there. But no, you don't need those things to be successful. Just because a lot of successful programs do utilize set pieces and props and tarps and whatever they need to do doesn't necessarily mean that it is essential to what to the types of scores that they get. People want to be dismissive about sort of stuff, that sort of stuff. Like, what, you don't think they're playing and moving well on the field? Let's not dismiss that. Don't shortchange these kiddos. I'm not going to allow that. That's one big misconception that with you know, programs that go to the Bands of America contest. There's a lot of pageantry involved with the organization. We want, you know, shows, very involved stuff. And when you go to these contests, especially for freshman parents and people who've never been to a contest like this before, you're going to see a giant variety of stuff. You're going to see straight up just traditional marching band stuff. Great. Awesome stuff. You're going to see more esoteric and involved shows that, you know, tell a story and have movie music in it. And you're going to see all sorts of stuff like that. So my whole point every year is to tell people, hey, you know, try to appreciate everything everybody's doing. I understand, you know, you're the two schools are the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, they don't get along. They play each other in football every year, and you can't cheer for, you're not allowed to cheer for anybody else except for your own school. That's another myth, that I can't cheer for anybody else's school because then that's going to help them do better. And I don't want that. Well, no, it's not how that is not how that works. People think that, you know, I've seen, well, I won't say that, but I mean, I don't ever want people sitting on their hands and not giving props where props are due, not giving credit where credit is due. It seems like that's increasing more and more recently. And that it was really amplified this year in the Drum Corps activity this summer, big time, especially after finals. Give credit where credit is due. It's okay to cheer for other programs. It's not an issue. And if other parents are looking around at you, like, why are you cheering for them? Tell them to shut up and, you know, try, hey, why don't we set an example? Why don't we set a good example for our kiddos? Why don't we set an example for the people around us? That's what I love to see when I have other programs cheering, we have programs cheer, or parents from other programs cheering for the kids on the field, no matter what. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter how many times you play them at football or how many times you compete against them at Bands of America, UIL stuff. That's the thing. Cheer them on. Give credit where credit is due. Please do that. You get told that at every event and every finals. Hey, give it up to every kiddo that goes out there. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you a weak person or anything like that. We have this thing in our head that's like, I can only cheer for one type of person, and that's it. And if you don't follow my form and you don't think exactly the way I think, then I have to hate you for the rest of my life. No, stop doing that. Stop doing that. That's not a way to live a good life. Okay. And I've lived a decent amount of it so far, heaven forbid. So music stuff, you know, you have, trying to go through like fact and fiction and all that fun stuff. You know, a lot of the times you'll look over scores and it'll say, you know, how come my individual score, how many, you know, you look at a music individual score, you look at a music visuals or a music ensemble score, and the two sometimes don't line up. Sometimes they don't line up. And people are like, well, why aren't they the same? How come my band did really well in individual, but ensemble didn't do well at all? Shouldn't they line up? Well, not necessarily. I'll give you an example. And this actually happened. When I was in eighth grade, there was this trumpet player who, for whatever reason, just as a joke, would, whenever we were playing as an ensemble, he would just make up rhythms and notes and all sorts of stuff. And nobody really wanted to say anything because, you know, nobody wants to be the person that calls them out because, you know how kid politics go. Okay. We've all been there. But when we were playing as an ensemble, I could literally hear the kid like literally just making up rhythms and notes and whatever. And then the band director would cut us off and he'd go, hey, he would hear something like, hey, trumpets, play this passage for him, just trumpets. And then of course he would, being the sneaky kid he was, he would play the passage perfectly, just as it was written on the page, no big deal. And he goes, oh, weird, that's odd. And then we would play as an ensemble again, and he would go back to doing it again. Eventually he got caught and, you know, went on his merry way. But that's what I'm talking about with individual and ensemble. When you go to the ensemble, or it's kind of the opposite way, I guess. Okay, maybe that was a bad example. I don't care. But there are some things that you hear on the field that need to be addressed, that you need to hold the performers accountable, that the ensemble judge may not hear because they're all the way up in the press box. And depending on what venue you're in, they're way far back and way high up. So just throwing an example out there, ensemble score could be really good, but the individual score could be really low. And the reason why that something like that would happen would be if a music judge walked around and started sampling what kiddos are playing, they look over and they go, well, this person's playing in tune, this person's not playing at all. They're not even holding the instrument to their mouth. And then this kid is playing wrong rhythms. So I have no consistency there because I've got three interpretations of how the music should be played: the correct way, the incorrect way, and not at all. So that's when a judge would mark down, you know, inconsistent playing within a section. So that's how the score sheets are meant to hold kids accountable. So that's why sometimes individual and ensemble stuff doesn't always line up. Now, of course, the programs that get to Saturday night and the programs that, you know, get to state finals and national finals and stuff like that, they usually don't have an issue with that. And if they do, it's usually few and far between. So that's where you can kind of see some inconsistency. So don't be ready to burn things down or anything like that. Those things do happen. But, you know, I always especially tell the kiddos, like, if you're able to, you know, go to your band director, be like, hey, can we listen to the music ensemble judge? Can we listen to the music individual judge? Some directors will allow that. They'll just like, yeah, let's put it in. Or some, what we used to do, if there was a caption that we didn't do particularly well in, or didn't do as well as we thought we were going to be in, our director would put in the tape. Back then it was a physical tape. Now it's all digital, but they put in a physical tape and we would listen to it. Like, what is this person actually saying? We have, as performers and staff members, we have it in our heads that the show went a certain way, but then you go to the judge and you listen to the individual judge and like, oh, there's some uncharacteristic sounds going on there. So, you know, and some directors don't let any of the students listen to that at all because they have their own reasons and that's totally okay. But I always encourage people, like, you know, it's good to get the other side of the program. It's good to get more perspective on it. The more perspective you have, the better musician, the better performer, the better person you're going to be. You don't want to just have it stuck in your head. Well, I did right and everything's good and we have nothing to improve on and the judges don't know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing. they go through a bunch of training. They've been in the activity a number of years of respected individuals. You know, that seems to kind of be the excuse. Like, you know, I almost kind of want to come up with the band nerd stages of grief, where it's like you go to a contest and you you don't get the score you want. And then you go, this judge doesn't know what they're talking about. And then the season goes on. Then it's like, well, it's actually this section because they weren't doing things and they were supposed to in summer band. And now it's coming back. And then, oh, wait, no, the designers didn't do it correctly. And listen, and there's just a lot of excuses over and over again, except for holding yourself accountable. So, yeah, So that's something that that I always try to tell people, like, you know, if you're upset with a particular score, if you're upset with anything like that, now the first thing is I always ask people, did you do everything possible to prepare for that moment? Did you learn all your music? Did you do everything, all that fun stuff? Did you knock that stuff out? If you can say yes, then the next question is, did I do everything that I could to help my section achieve as much as they can? You know, really try to keep it on yourselves and try to focus down. We can't control what the judges say, anything like that. What you can control is how you perform and how you prepare. And that's really it. The chips are going to fall where they may. There have been some results that I haven't agreed with before, and, you know, you learn to handle it. It's all a part of growing up and learning how to deal with things there. So that's really just Bands of America stuff, just kind of like a quick primer of how things go. It was, and like I said, it was pretty quick. I mean, I could go on for hours and hours and hours of doing that, but I don't think anybody wants that. So that's how Bands of America contests go. We'll dive into a little bit more of scoring and how programs are picked and all that fun stuff as we get into my world famous Nerdin stuff that's gonna happen. So if you're new to this or whatever, sorry, my computer's blowing up with messages and stuff like that. So just kind of a quick overall thing, like what I usually do here is I do previews for the Bands of America contest and the UIL contest and stuff like that. I go over every program, you know, announce the schedule, and then just kind of talk about the event in general, what to look for, things to watch out for, different stuff like that. Like kind of just like a general overall view of what to expect for that particular show, that particular weekend. So be ready for that. It'll be more extensive. It'll be more intense. Those are usually my most popular things. Be ready for that. Be ready for some announcements with Texas Bands Live vlog and all that fun stuff. I am done here. I need to get going because my phone's blowing up right now. But I will talk to you all very, very soon. I can't wait to take care of that. I will talk to you all very, very soon. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Adios. Bye-bye.